No one likes to talk about death. It's an enemy that stalks all of us. The Word of God says in Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Sorry, Amber, I need to go back to the title screen for a moment, if you will. I punched on the wrong one. Today, I want to address this thing of death. And I want to give you three truths today that will silence death. Three truths. Some die in old age. Some die in infancy. And others at all ages in between. Some die by disease, wrecks, wars, murder. Some hasten the arrival of death by cooperating with the enemy, by engaging in bad habits and harmful lifestyles. Here's the truth. Death is our enemy. It stalks us every hour that we're alive. The moment that we're born, we begin to die. You say, well, I'm young. Yeah, but have you ever had a decayed tooth? Bodies begin to fall apart. The Apostle Paul's writing to the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth had a whole lot of problems. And apparently they were struggling with this issue of death and what happens next. So he writes, beginning in verse number 50 of 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 50, 1 Corinthians 15, the Word of God says, now this I say, brethren. Notice the key phrase, brethren. He's talking to Christians, to believers there. And that's important because in a little bit throughout this text, he's going to make reference to the phrase all. I don't want you to be confused with this. He says, now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. He said, there's got to be a change. You and I cannot be good enough in our own flesh and our own works to achieve heaven. And then he says in verse number 51, he says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. The word sleep there doesn't mean fall asleep like some of you will do in the next few minutes. The word sleep, whenever it's concerning the believer, refers to death. Paul says, we'll not all die. But we shall all be changed. There will be some that will be alive whenever Jesus comes back, but the majority will have already passed. The majority are sleeping now. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, this old flesh, this old dying, decaying body, must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought past the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. That little phrase, the strength of sin is the law, carries with it this understanding or this truth, if you will. I didn't realize that I was a sinner until I was confronted with the law. The law of God reveals that I am a sinner. It reveals that I'm a liar, a blasphemer, a thief, unholy. That's what the law is, the strength. But I'm glad today for the grace of God. I'm glad that God just doesn't reveal to me that I am a sinner, but He reveals to me that He is a Savior. So, we go on. But thanks. Paul writes through it. He says, hey, he said, sin is revealed in me because of God's law. But then he goes on and he says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, because of that, in verse number 58, therefore, because of what I've just written, therefore, my beloved brethren, fellow believers, fellow followers of Christ, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. By the way, this is a message for 2023. Be ye steadfast, unmovable. I have friends of mine that are dealing with issues with some of their friends. Folks in the ministry, yes, Amber, probably. Thank you. I've so some men that I know of today that have been staunch in a lot of things, thank you, in their work and their service for the Lord. And we see a movement today in so many ways. We saw a movement in some of these fellows' lives about 5 or 6 years ago. And what they did is they began to move away from some of what we call traditional music. They began to bring that in. I'm going to tell you something. Any time a church begins to bring in music that's of contemporary variety, I'm going to tell you something. That is the camel getting a nose in the tent. And I'm watching today some of these same men are now, in fact, one of them recently, a fellow that I know down in Jacksonville, Florida, made a video, and it's called The Translation Transition. How he has taken a church that was a traditional King James Bible church, just like this one, and now he is helping them transition into the new modern versions. I'm going to tell you something. The modern versions are corrupt. They're based on a corrupt text and all that. I don't have time to go into that. But we're seeing death in some of those areas. You know what the Bible challenged us to do? Be unmovable. There are some things that we can't move off of. There are things that are solid, and there are things that God has commanded we stay with. Unmovable. And then he says, not only unmovable, but he says, don't just sit still. He says, always abounding. As I rode through New Orleans on Friday, my brother and my dad were making all kinds of comments and talking, and as I watched and I looked, and we were behind a carriage that was drawn by a horse, and I was glad. First time in my life that I was glad that I was going slow. And we were going slow, and I looked, and I saw lost people everywhere. I'm going to tell you something. There's lost people all around us today. They need Jesus. And we need to be abounding in the work of the Lord. And I love this last little phrase. He says, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That little thing that you do for God's glory, God knows and He notices. But the main thrust of this passage is death. You know, death is unnatural. The Bible says man was made a living soul. It says the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and became a living soul. Bless you. But death entered the world because of sin. Because of sin. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, God is talking to Adam and Eve, and he says, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Because of sin, man began to die. The Word of God says, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So far, in all of human history, only two have escaped this thing we call death. Enoch, and Elijah. That was it. Everybody else has passed. May I say death is unnatural, but also death is painful. One of the, in fact, the shortest verse in the Bible. People say, well, I can't memorize Scripture. I believe that you can memorize at least one verse. Jesus stood outside of the tomb of his friend Lazarus. Of course, he wept. He cried. He had a broken heart. In fact, the Bible records it. You say, I can't memorize Scripture. Here you go. You memorize this. John 11:35. Jesus wept. Let's say that together. Ready? Jesus, John 11:35. There you go. You've learned at least one verse. Now you can say, I can do it. So now, memorize the one that's up on the screen for next week. As hateful and as hurtful as death can be, it doesn't get the last word. God does. Let me give you three things, and there could be 300 things. But I'm going to give you three thoughts today. Three truths that put death in its place. The plan of salvation silences death. The plan of salvation silences death. Jesus came to restore everything that death took away. The Bible says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Jesus came to bring life back to dead sinners. When Jesus came to this earth, he conquered two forms of death. He conquered spiritual death and he conquered physical death. A little boy crawled up in his mom's lap one hot summer day. They were just sitting there. As they were sitting there, a little boy was hugging on his mom and loving on her. The mom was hugging and loving on the little boy, and then the little fellow became afraid. And he pulled himself closer to his mom, and the mom said, what's the matter? And he said, a bee, I'm afraid. Mom said, son, you don't have to worry about that bee. And the boy said, no, Mom, that bee will sting me. And the mom said, you don't have to worry about it. He won't sting you. And he said, but how? What? I don't understand. And she held out her hand, and in the palm of her hand, she had tried to swat the bee away, and it had stung her. And she said, son, that bee can't sting you. I have the stinger. Can I tell you something? Death can't sting you today because Jesus has taken the stinger for you. He's taken the pain for you and I. See, faith in Jesus, when we place our trust and our faith in Him, it brings instant, everlasting life. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I think I have one up on the screen there. It is, verily, verily, I say unto you, Jesus says, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath, present tense, now, hath everlasting life. You say, well, how do I know that? The last part of it says this, and shall not. The phrase shall not is the same phrase that could be used never, never, never. Shall not come into condemnation, but is past. An event that happened in the past, but has consequences in the now and the future, is past. The moment that I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior as a 17-year-old boy, guess what? I passed from death, an event that happened 40 years ago, this coming October, 40 years ago, I was passed from being dead to Jesus to alive in Jesus. And you know what? That event that happened years ago still affects me today. And it has eternal consequences that I've yet to reap the rewards of. Everlasting life is a present possession. It's not that I am one day going to heaven. It is that I am going to heaven. In the mind of God, I'm already there. I've just got to finish up my time on this earth. I love this one verse here. I share this with people often at the fairs whenever we're dealing with them. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And I ask people, they say, how do I know? And I say, did you believe on the Son of God just now? Well, yes, I did. So according to God's Word, what do you have? Was there ever a time in your life that you believed on the Son of God? According to God's Word, what do you have? What are those two words? Hath what? Everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Salvation destroys death's power over the soul. When Jesus cried out, it is finished, he completed it all. So the plan of salvation silences death. Brother Steve, you'll like this one. A place called heaven silences death. You say, well, what about death? What about heaven? Salvation also changes not only the condition of my soul, not only does it make me alive, but it changes my eternal destiny. See, up until the age of 17, I was destined. I was literally determined to go to hell. If I would have died, I would have gone to hell forever and ever and ever. But finally, things begin to click in my mind several months before that moment of decision. And I began to think and contemplate more about it. And I was beginning to move toward the gospel. And that Sunday night, as I heard in the church, I listened to people's testimonies. The Holy Spirit of God convicted me that night. And I realized I didn't have a testimony. I didn't know Jesus is my Savior. And that Sunday night, I stood up. Not to give a testimony, but to get a testimony. And the moment I stood up, before I ever prayed, before I ever did anything else, I believe with all of my heart, that is the moment in my life that I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That changed everything for me. Absolutely everything. My eternal soul was saved. My destiny was moved from no longer going to hell, but going to heaven. The lost soul is headed to hell, though. The Word of God says the wicked shall be turned into hell. You know what it was before I trusted Christ? Wicked. You know what you were before you trusted Christ? Wicked in the mind of God. By the way, our country ought to take note of that last little part. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. So goes the nation as goes the people. But the redeemed soul, though, is going to heaven. Jesus is hanging on the cross, and one of the malefactors, which were hanging with him, railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered, rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly. He said, listen, we're here because we deserve it. For we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man, this Jesus, hath done nothing amiss or nothing wrong. He said, I've watched him. I've listened to his ministry. Everybody around there has been aware of it. You know what he is basically telling the other guy? Shut up. And then he looked at Jesus and he said, Lord. He's recognizing him as the Son of God. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. And I love these next words. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee and you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. You know what he's saying? Your soul, your destiny has been moved from hell to heaven in this very moment. See, a place called hell, a place called heaven silences death. Paul writes not only here in 1 Corinthians, but he writes in Philippians. He says, For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And then he says, I'm in a strait betwixt two. How many have ever had a difficult decision to make? And you're like, I don't know which way to turn. I don't know what to do. The Apostle Paul says, Oh, I'm kind of there. He said, I'm in a strait. I don't know what to do. He says, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. He said, But every time I look around, I see lost people. Paul says, Heaven is far better than this world. Jesus said, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. By the way, he's telling his disciples that right after he told them that one of them was going to deny him and one of them was going to betray him. And he said, Don't let your heart be troubled. I'm sure they were thinking, What? And then he goes on, he says, In my Father's house, many mansions. He said, If it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I'm going away. But I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And he says, I'll come again. And I'll receive you unto myself so that where I am, there you may be also. You know what he's saying? There's a place called heaven. The Word of God talks about heaven and says God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. By the way, take note of this, Revelation 21. This is at the end of everything. I've heard people say, Well, there'll be no tears in heaven. Don't you believe that? There'll be tears for a while till all the judgments are passed, till all that's taken care of. There shall be no more death, though. There'll be no more sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any pain. Why? Because all the former things are passed away. The Lord and our departed loved ones, the saints of all the ages, await for us in glory. See, there is something beyond the door that we call death. And for the believer, it's a place called heaven. Death is called just a shadow. Just a shadow. I remember as a boy being out in a hay field, a couple hundred acre field. And me and my brother, when we were little, would try to run and stay underneath the shadow of a cloud. I'm going to tell you, a cloud moves pretty fast sometimes. And it just passed. Brad would say, I can't keep up. It's going to pass. You know, one day, we're going to have that shadow of a cloud just kind of pass over. We're going to take our last breath here. And we'll take our next breath there. So the plan of salvation silences death. A place called heaven silences death. And then lastly today, the power of the resurrection of Jesus silences death. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. The resurrection of Jesus declares Jesus to be Savior. The Bible says, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness. Now notice why. By the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus guarantees the truth that He's our Savior, or can be our Savior, but also it guarantees our salvation. The Apostle Paul, here, we're in chapter 15. Let's see, we've got time. How long? Ooh, Amber's got a timer up there for me. I don't like that thing. 1 Corinthians 15. Go with me to verse number 14. Let's read a couple of verses. This will be the only place I'll have you turn to today, I believe. Verse number 14 of chapter 15, 1 Corinthians. The Bible says, the Apostle Paul is making an argument here, making a negative argument, really. He's doing what we would call being the devil's advocate, all right? He's taking the other side. By the way, some of you have quit arguing for just being right. You just like to argue to make the other person mad. All right, I know some of that happens, all right? Verse number 14, here's what Paul says. He says, and if Christ be not risen, see which side he's taking. He says, then is our preaching vain or empty, and your faith is also vain or empty. Yea, and we're found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. If so be that the dead rise not. You know what he's saying? I hear the arguments. I hear what they're saying. I hear that they're saying Jesus didn't really rise from the dead. I hear all of those things. So he's making that case, and he says, for if the dead rise not, verse number 16, then is not Christ raised. Sorry. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You're yet in your sins. By the way, that is a terrible statement. Because he goes on. He says, you're in your sins. Then they also, which are fallen asleep in Christ, are perished. You know what he's saying? Hoping about heaven, there's no heaven. If Jesus is not alive, then there's no place called heaven. Your loved one didn't go there. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, what he's saying is, he says, if we only believe that Jesus was a good teacher and a good moral leader and all of that, but not really the Son of God, here's what he says. He says, we're of all men most miserable. He said, we believe a lie. If you underline things in your Bible, circle words. Verse number 20, circle word, but. He says, yeah, I know what they're saying, but here's the truth. I know what they're saying, but here's what really is. Yeah, I hear that, but they're fools. But now, circle the word is. You know what he's saying? He didn't say, but now was Jesus. You know what he's saying? This same Jesus is still alive. It's not that just at a time in history he walked out of the grave. He wasn't like Lazarus where he walked out of the grave and then later on died again. But Jesus walked out of the grave to never die again. He says Jesus conquered death, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. He says, listen, I want you to know, just as Jesus lives, you can live. The resurrection of Jesus Christ guarantees a similar resurrection for you and I. Because he lives, not only because he lives, I can face tomorrow, but because he lives, I have no fear of death as a believer in Jesus. Because one day, the trumpet sound, and my dead body will come out of the grave. And so will yours one day. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brother, concerning them which are asleep, for you sorrow not as others, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Jesus will change our bodies. We'll be like him. A better day awaits us in heaven. Paul was from southern Israel. For he said, I reckon I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Two taunting questions. Finish up, go back to the end of the chapter, verse 55. It's like the Apostle Paul is taunting death. He says, "Oh, death, where's your sting? Where's your victory?" And in verse number 57, he says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." D.L. Moody, old evangelist of time past, actually wasn't that old when he died. D.L. Moody was a man that was somewhat uneducated, yet the power of God rested upon him. He shook two continents, three continents actually, for the glory of God. Millions of people came to hear him. Many trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior as a result of the preaching. Awakening from his sleep shortly before he died, he said this. He said, "Earth recedes. Heaven opens before me. If this is death, it is sweet. There is no valley here. God is calling me, and I must go." Then he drifted off for a moment, and the son looked at him and said, "You must be dreaming." And his dad reawakened one last time. And his last words were these: "This is my triumph. This is my coronation day. It is glorious." And with that, he took his last breath and entered into the presence of the Savior whom he served so long. Three truths of silence, death, plan of salvation, place called heaven, and the power of the resurrection. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Question, are you saved today? If not, make today the day. If you are saved, therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast. Are you steadfast? Are you unmovable? Are you abounding in the work of the Lord? How's your work for God been this week? Oh, God, help us. Help us to live like Jesus really is alive. Heads bowed, eyes closed. How many in the room today?